As we continue our series on Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse 15, that is page 219 in your pew Bible. Let's read together. Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed to Samuel, "Tomorrow about this time I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him to be ruler over my people Israel. He shall save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have seen the suffering of my people, because their outcry has come to me." When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord told him, "Here is the man of whom I spoke to you. He it is who shall rule over my people." Then Saul approached Samuel inside the gate and said, "Tell me, please, where is the house of the seer?" Samuel answered Saul, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the shrine, for today you shall eat with me, and in the morning I will let you go and will tell you all that is on your mind. As for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, give no further thought to them, for they have been found. And on whom is all Israel's desire fixed, if not on you and on all your ancestral house?" Saul answered, "I am only a Benjamite, from the least of the tribes of Israel, and my family is the humblest of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin. Why then have you spoken to me in this way?" Then Samuel took Saul and his servant boy and brought them into the hall and gave them a place at the head of those who had been invited, of whom there were about 30. And Samuel said to the cook, "Bring the portion I gave you, the one I asked you to put aside." The cook took up the thigh and what went with it and set them before Saul. Samuel said, "See, what was kept is set before you. Eat, for it is set before you at the appointed time, so that you might eat with the guest." So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they came down from the shrine into the town, a bed was spread for Saul on the roof, and he lay down to sleep. Then at the break of dawn, Samuel called to Saul upon the roof, "Get up, so that I may send you on your way." Saul got up, and both he and Samuel went out into the street. Thank you so much. God bless you. About 10 years ago, Sherry sold her house in Baltimore. And when the check for the closing proceeds was delivered, she gave it to me and asked me to deposit it in the bank the next morning when I went to work. So I drove to my office that morning, and about 9 o'clock, I walked over to the bank office where the tellers were and had the deposit slip filled out and walked up and reached into my pants pocket where the check was, and the check wasn't there. So I looked in my other pants pocket, it wasn't there. I looked in my shirt pocket, it wasn't there. I looked in all four of my coat pockets, it wasn't there. I opened up my billfold, it wasn't there. So I walked back to my truck, thinking I must have laid it on the seat of the truck. I opened up the truck, I looked all in the seat, under the seat, in the glove box, in the console, on the dash, behind the seat. You know what I was doing? I was looking everywhere I could think of before I had to call Sherry. But I couldn't find the check. So I called her and I said, I can't find the check. And so I went back to my office and I went everywhere I had gone that morning. I walked through the lobby of the building where my office was. I took the steps back up to my office and went into the break room. I went into the bathroom. I looked under my desk, in my desk, on my desk, everywhere I could think of looking for this check, because this was a very large sum. No check. So I called Sherry again. She said, "I hope you have a good attorney." She said, "Well, we need to call Wells Fargo and put a stop payment on the check and ask them to issue another check." And so I called Wells Fargo and, you know, gave them the information, and they said, "Well, you know, we can put a stop order on the check and it's $35 or whatever." And I said, "Okay, so I'll come by Wells Fargo. I'll pay you to do that." And I walked back to my truck. I thought, let me look at my truck one more time. And I looked all in the front, all in the back of the truck. I looked everywhere I could think of. And I closed the door of the truck, and I thought, well, I've I'm going to have to go to my office and tell them I've got to be gone for a few minutes. And as I start walking across the parking lot, I look and I see something flipping in the wind. And I walked over to it, and there, laying on the ground about 25, 30 feet from my truck, not under a parking space, in the middle of the parking lot was that check laying, and where it had been folded, that part, it was laying just like this, with this top part just kind of blowing in the breeze. I picked that check up. I said, "Thank you, Jesus." I called Sherry. I said, "Honey, you're not going to guess." She said, "You found the check." I said, "I did." She said, "I've been praying." You've all lost something or someone at some time, and you're familiar with that feeling of panic when you realize you've lost something. Maybe it was a child. Maybe it was a check. Maybe it was your car keys. Maybe it was your cell phone. Maybe it was your spouse. Maybe it was your mind, but you realize you've lost something and you don't know where it is. You know that panic you feel, but you also know that elation that you feel when you find that which was lost. That sense of relief, that sense of, "I don't know how I missed it, but I'm so glad I found it." Saul, his father, has lost a pile of donkeys, and he can't find them. So he sends Saul out for them. Well, at least I didn't use the King James Version, because then I'd say Saul's father lost his asses. But he sent Saul out looking for them. And Saul has been looking 3 days for these donkeys. And he finally tells his servant, he said, "We've got to go home, because now my father is probably thinking he's lost us." And the servant says to him, "Before we go back, there's a prophet, there's a seer, there's a man of God in this town right near us, this little village. Let's go find him." And so Saul and the servant boy come into the town where Samuel happens to be, because Samuel is there that day to offer up a sacrifice on behalf of the people for the town. Just coincidence that Samuel just happened to be in the town where Saul was nearby. And of course, we read what happened. I want to talk to you today about lost and found. And really what I want to talk to you about today is sometimes what you think you've lost, that God has something bigger and better that he wants you to find. Saul went looking for donkeys, but he found his destiny. So the first thing I want to mention to you today is this: God loves surprising his children. God loves surprising his children. We read it, 1 Samuel chapter 9, beginning of verse 15. "Now the day before Saul came, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel: 'About this time tomorrow, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin. Anoint him ruler of my people Israel. He will deliver them from the hand of the Philistines. I have looked on my people, for their cry has reached me.' When Samuel caught sight of Saul, the Lord said to him, 'This is the man I spoke to you about. He will govern my people.' Samuel heard the word of the Lord the day before Saul ever showed up and said, 'Not just tomorrow, this time tomorrow.'" Samuel, look at your watch. It's 11:15 Sunday morning. You've got plenty of time to preach. Samuel, "This time tomorrow, Monday at 11:45, a man's going to show up. That's the man." Samuel so believed the word of God that he went to the chef who was catering the meal and said, "I want you to take the best steak. I want you to take the thickest ribeye, the biggest piece. I want you to set it aside, grill it with the rest of it, but don't serve it to the people. Save it, because I've got a special guest coming." The scripture calls God Jehovah Jireh. And that doesn't just mean the Lord that will provide. The actual Hebrew is this: the Lord who sees ahead and makes provision. The God who sees tomorrow, just like today on the offertory. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. The God who sees Monday while you and I are in Sunday, that Jehovah Jireh. The three Hebrew boys refuse to bow down before the king, and so they are the idol. So they are thrown into the fiery furnace. But God had a surprise. Daniel chapter 3, beginning verse 20. Nebuchadnezzar commanded some of the strongest soldiers to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them in the blazing furnace. So these three men, wearing their robes, their trousers, their turban, and their outer clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. These three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. And you and I would say, and they were consumed. But God had a surprise. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your master." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the Son of God." God had a surprise in store. God wasn't caught off guard by what Nebuchadnezzar was going to do. God already had made preparation. Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 4, when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon Peter, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Many times we'd put a period there and say, not only have we fished all night, not caught anything, we've washed the nets, we've thrown away the bait, we're good to go, we're ready to go home and take a nap, we're tired, we're hungry. But God had a surprise in store. Simon Peter said, "But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. God loves surprising his children. John writes this in Revelation chapter 1, beginning of verse 9. "I, John, your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was exiled on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ." We would have put a period there and said, poor John, he's been ostracized, isolated, persecuted for being a follower of Christ, and now they've dropped him off on the Isle of Patmos, which the Romans used for the most horrible criminals. It was like Alcatraz for the Roman Empire. This is where they put the murderers. This is where they put the people that they were afraid might break out. So they put them on the Isle of Patmos. And that's where John finds himself. But God had a surprise for him. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come." God loves surprising his children. The second thing I want to mention to you today is this: you can find more than you expected. You can find more than you expected. 1 Samuel 9, again reading verses 19 and 20, Samuel answered Saul, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the shrine, for today you shall eat with me, and in the morning I will let you go and tell you all that is on your mind. As for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, give no further thought to them, for they have been found. And on whom is all Israel's desire fixed, if not on you and on all your ancestral house?" Saul was looking for donkeys, but he found his destiny. Mary and Martha in John chapter 10 were looking for a healer, but they found resurrection power. Zacchaeus was looking for a good spot to watch the parade. He found his identity as a child of Abraham. The prodigal son was coming home looking for his father to become his master, but instead he found his dad. Mary was looking for someone to roll the stone away. She found a risen Lord who knew her name. So what are you looking for? What are you searching for? What are you desiring to find? Don't limit God. Don't limit God to just what we feel like, well, you know, if this will get me by, if I can just get through with this, if I could just find toilet paper somewhere, I think my life would be complete. That's all I need, God, just 6 rolls of Charmin. What are you looking for? Maybe it's time we broadened our horizons. Maybe it's time we took the blinders off our eyes. Maybe it's time we quit having narrow vision and we begin to enlarge our vision and we begin to think about what could God do? What are the possibilities for God? Is there anything too hard for our God to do? We're thinking too small sometimes. We're thinking, oh, well, you know, if we can just do this, that'll be great. Instead of thinking, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with us, in us, and through us? So I want to encourage you today with my last point is this. Live adventurously. Live adventurously. Don't be blinded to the beauty around you because you're consumed with the search. Probably 30 years ago, I was out west, and Sean, my oldest son, was 14 years old, and so he was the one in charge of the map, and we were somewhere in Colorado, and the gas gauge was about a quarter of a tank, and I could see the next town. This is for GPS, but I could look on the map and see the next town we needed to get to, and it was about 40 miles, and I'm thinking, okay, we can get there, and Sean said, Dad, I found a shortcut. Okay? And he showed it to me on the map. It's a shortcut. And it wasn't. So we started off on the shortcut. It was a paved road for about 3 miles. Then it turned into a dirt road. And then we passed a sign that said, you are now entering the Shoshone National Forest. And I'm watching the gas gauge, and I'm also looking for Indians. And I'm thinking, I wonder how many nights we can sleep in the car before somebody comes looking for us, before Enterprise sends out an alert. And here's what happened. We came off the dirt road after about 25 miles onto a paved road, and there was a little old country store with a gas station. I pulled in, dust flying, and ran into the store, and he was getting ready to lock it up. I said, can you just let me get a tank of gas? Sure, you can get a tank of gas. But here's what I missed. I missed seeing, because Sean later told me, some of the most beautiful aspen trees and leaves that were current turning color, because I was watching the gas gauge. Sometimes in our search for what we're looking for, we miss the beauty that God has placed out before us on the journey. Jeremiah, God spoke to Jeremiah in chapter 29. He said this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I wondered this week, how many lessons have I missed as God has been trying to bring me to the place where I seek for Him with all my heart? How many little miracles have I missed? How many accidents have I been saved from? How many sicknesses and diseases have I been cared for? How many blessings has God given me that I have missed and have failed to say thank you because I am so consumed with getting to the point of where I'm trying to get? And I miss the beauty all around me. You can learn a lot of wonderful lessons about God, about people, about the Word, about prayer, and about yourself as you seek God and God begins to expand your heart. Sherry and I, several years ago, took a trip to the Four Corners. We flew into Phoenix and rented a car, and we did the Grand Canyon, and we had a limited amount of time, and it's like, how many national forests can we go, or national parks can we go to? And so we did Colorado and New Mexico and Utah and Wyoming, I guess, whatever the Four Corners are, Arizona. And we had a GPS, so it's our morning to leave, to fly out of Phoenix. We plug the GPS in, and as we leave the hotel and get on the road, the GPS goes boop. And so Sherry grabs the map out of the glove box, and she starts mapping us through. And I'm driving along, and the traffic's going. It's like eight lanes of traffic, or four lanes, and I'm driving, and I'm, okay, honey, where do I turn? Where do I turn? Honey, you got to tell me, where am I supposed to turn? And after about 5 miles, it was no longer honey. It was, Sherry, where am I supposed to turn? And Sherry's there, just wait a minute. I'm watching the map. Everything's going to be fine. I was in a panic because I'm thinking, I've got to get to the destination on time. Sherry was just as calm as she could be. We're going to get there. We're going to be fine. Just keep driving. I'll tell you when we need to turn. I think sometimes that is the way we go through life. We're trying to find the final point, the final place. What's it going to take till I can get from here to there? And the Holy Spirit is beside us saying, just calm down. I know where you're going. I'm in control. You don't have to be afraid. I love the bumper sticker that said that says this: if God is your co-pilot, change seats. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to us through His Word and through prayer and just through silent, just sitting and listening for Him. And He's speaking to us. I'm with you. I know what tomorrow holds. My eyes on the sparrow. I see you. I know everything's under control. Saul left home. His dad saying to him, find the donkeys, bring the donkeys home. When Saul came home, he came home a different man. He'd heard the prophet say to him, as he poured oil over his head in chapter 10, he poured oil over his head, and he heard the prophet say to him, God has anointed you, and God has appointed you. God has selected you from all the nation of Israel. God's chosen you to be the leader. But Saul's dad didn't realize it. But one night, while they were all in bed, the Holy Spirit came up to the latch that was on the gate and flipped it up, and said to the donkeys, get, get, because he had to get Saul where he wanted to get him, so Saul could hear what he wanted to tell him. Don't be afraid of the search, and don't be afraid to live adventurously. I came across a quote that I want to share with you, and then we're closing. Is from Og Mandino. He made this statement, and I quote, I will love the light, for it shows me the way. Yet I will endure the darkness, because it shows me the stars. Some of you say, Rodney, it seems like right now I'm in the darkness. I want to tell you, you're not. You've got a God who's right there beside you. Well, Rodney, I don't know what's going to happen to my retirement. I don't know what's going to happen to my stocks. I don't know what's going to happen to my body. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in the country. You know what? We serve a God who spoke the world into being. He just said, let there be, and there was. Are you missing the stars because you're afraid of the darkness? God may have more in store for you than you realize. And He's setting up situations where your donkeys are getting lost. Because he wants to show you something bigger than you've ever seen before. Father, I thank you for the word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our pathway. And Father, there are times when it seems like we've lost our bearings, we've lost our foothold, we've lost our way. What we were depending upon now seems to be shaking. What we had placed our trust in now seems to be wavering. What we had banked on and depended upon now seems to be not firm. But Lord, you've not changed. You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Your word in the Old Testament where you said, I am the Lord, I change not, is still true to us for us today. So Father, I pray that we would have open eyes even as we're walking through what some people are saying are dark times. May we have open eyes and an adventurous spirit, and may we have faith that says, I know who holds tomorrow. I know who holds my hand. I know who watches the sparrow. I know who's by my side. And I believe that God still has big things in store for me. In Jesus' name, amen.